All of this should be resulting in more evangelism and outreach to our community. Things to plan for and to pray for in 2023 are Vacation Bible School, youth and children camps in July, witnessing opportunities, mission projects, local or abroad. And you notice those are kind of filling the blanks. Let's pray that God would show us where these open doors are for this year and then get involved. Excuse me. And the February prayer focus especially that I really want us to zero in on is praying for strongholds in generational sins to be broken in each of us and our families that are keeping us from growing in Christ. Can you look at your own heart and see mistakes that maybe your parents made and maybe their parents made and wrong attitudes that they had that they stumbled over? And we swore we would never be like that. And yet, every once in a while, we hear ourselves or we see our own thoughts and we think, oh my goodness, I'm kind of carrying on with the very same thing that I thought I would never be like or think like. That's a stronghold. And so that's like a wall that's been built around us that we're having a hard time getting through, and it's hard to get over, and it's kind of got us... God is keeping us from really following Christ the way we would really like to. And so we're not here to judge anybody. We're here to read the Word of God, and it says we have the power to tear those down. So let's stop living inside of this prison of the way that we've always been or the way we always thought we would be or the way we thought we never would be, but we're stuck. I want you to know the jail door is not locked. It's open. All you've got to do is walk out with Jesus. We are not bound to have to live like that. So let's pray that these strongholds would be torn down and then cast down so that they won't continue to wreck themselves and hold us back. So can I pray with you? And then throughout this month, I want this to be a daily thought in your prayer life to remember to pray for this. Not just in your family, not just in yourself, but let's pray for all of the church family. Amen? So let's pray together. Dear Father, we come to you today and we just pray that every stronghold that has ever been erected in my life, in our lives, and in the lives of our families would be torn down by the power of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And whenever you died on that cross, Jesus, you said, "It is finished." And what that meant was everything that ever needed to be done to pay for our sins was paid in full in that moment. And everything that we need for life and godliness is available to us through you and through your word. So help us to start living it, Lord. We know that what you said on the cross was absolutely true because on the third day you rose again from the dead. And you are seated at the right hand of the Father right now, making intercession for us. And so, Lord, as we pray, by the power and direction, and even sometimes just through the Holy Spirit, you just pray for us even when we don't know what to pray. And the Son has taken it to the Father instantly, and it's as good as done. So, Lord, whatever is your will for us in our lives as we pray it, you do it. And I pray that you would tear down these strongholds. Set our families free so that we can individually and as families live for you without any hindrance. In Jesus' name, amen. Keep that on in a visible place or in your Bible at home so that whenever you open it up to do your daily Bible reading, you can look at that and remember to pray. So let's go ahead and open up our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to be looking at verses 5 through 9 today. And then we're going to have a wonderful time of being together in the Lord's Supper, one of the ordinances of the church. And then, following the Lord's Supper, we also have a baptism today. Can you say praise the Lord? So we're going to be practicing both ordinances of the church. And so we're excited about that. And leading up to that, I want to be talking about working for God. So as we've been going through the book of Ephesians, we see that in chapter 5, it dealt with the relationship of us within the church, and then the relationship of us within our marriages, husband to wife, wife to husband. And then as we started into chapter 6, it talked about the relationship between children and the parents, and the especially the father and the children. In verse 4, And now we're going to be talking about bondservants and their masters in verses 5 through 9. Now, first of all, we want to try to get a proper understanding of the word bondservant. There's been a lot of bad rap on this area of Scripture that some people that are naysayers about the Bible want to try to say that this advocates slavery. The word bondservant does mean slave, but it's a particular kind of slave, and it has to do with somebody that owes a debt, and they can't pay it, and so they work it off. Do any of us owe a debt? We do, right? And so in one way, we can see that we owe a huge debt to Jesus that we can never pay, amen? So ultimately, we're his bondservant. We're his slave. We, as a believer in Jesus Christ, we're agreeing to serve him forever, amen? And so what we can see is that in life as well, we have to work. And we actually have to make this thing called money. And why do we do that? Because we owe debt. And so I think that we can see this as being ones who are forced to work to pay off a debt, and also ones who voluntarily work to pay off a debt as well. I mean, I do it voluntarily. I'll go and do different things because I have extra needs and everything. And I try not to ever consider my work here in the church as being a job, because this, I didn't come here for a job. I came here because I was called, and this church is wonderful to help take care of me and my family. And I appreciate that. I see that almost as a gift from y'all, and I appreciate it. But even for other needs and things like that we have, you know, I'm willing to work and do whatever I need to do. And it's a joy to me to be able to do it for the sake of our family, and I'm sure it is for you as well. But ultimately, you've still got that relationship between the one who's working and the one they're working for. And so I really want to kind of focus in on that. And I can show you that Paul was not advocating slavery in this by looking at another book, another letter that he wrote. It's called Philemon, and I just want to read a couple verses to you. Background of Philemon is Paul was going about doing his ministry, and there was a man who came upon him who was doing ministry along beside of him, and he found out that he was actually a runaway slave. He was a runaway bondservant, and it turned out he had run away. He had ran away from a fellow that Paul already knew, who had started a church in his home through Paul's ministry. And so in the book of Philemon, Paul is being very burdened that it's not right for this slave to have just run away without paying his debt. He really needed to make it right. And he couldn't have a clear conscience until he made it right. But as he's sending him back to the master He's sending him with a letter encouraging this slave's master to forgive his debt. And that as this slave was coming back humbly, that, and I want to read just a couple verses to you from Philemon. It's only one chapter, so it's obviously from chapter 1. And it's at verse 14 and through 16. It says, "But without your consent, I wanted to do nothing that your good deed might not be compulsion, as it were, but voluntary. For perhaps he departed for a while for this purpose, that you might receive him forever, no longer as a slave, but more than a slave, as a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord." So do you see Paul's heart on this slavery? He said both the master and the slave both belong to Jesus. And so why can't they be able to serve together as brothers? And I will say that in this world that we live in today, both the master or the boss of the company and the individual who works for them, both are under the authority of God. Amen? Who are we all going to answer to? The same God. And so rather than thinking of yourself working for a particular company or working for a particular boss, I want you to think of it more like you're working for God. You're working for Jesus. And I can tell you that is not going to make you a less than good employee. It's going to make you a better employee. And so that's what Paul wants to express to us today in Ephesians chapter 6. He's wanting us to surrender every part of our life, no matter what our situation is, to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. There isn't the secular and the holy in your life anymore. It's all supposed to be holy. It's all supposed to be under the blood of Christ, and it's all for the same purpose that we serve. And so he goes on here in chapter 6, verses 5 through 9. Let's all stand for the reading of God's word, if you're able to stand. He says, "Bondservants, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and sincerity of heart as to Christ. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatever good anyone else does, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether he is a slave or free. And you, masters, do the same things to them, giving up threatening, knowing that your own master also is in heaven, and there is no partiality with him." Let's pray. Father, help us to see that no matter which side of the equation that we are on, we answer to you. Help us to know that if we are Christians, we are all on a level playing field. And even when we look out at our neighbors who may not be Christians, they are still created in the image of God, and they are worthy of the same respect. So help us, Lord, to let this soak in today that ultimately we're not working for people. And those of us who are bosses don't just have people working for us. Ultimately, we're all serving you. So help us to work and to act as ones who are serving Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's break it down just a little bit here as y'all have a seat. Who ultimately is our master? I like it in verse 6. It just brings it right down to it. It says, don't just serve with eye service as men pleasers. If all you're doing is trying to make it look good while the boss is looking, you're not really doing your best, because what you need to understand is your real boss is always looking. Amen? That's a big game changer when you realize Jesus sees everything. He's God. He's seeing it all. He's even seeing the thoughts and intentions of our hearts. Wow, that can be convicting, right? But it can also be very freeing, because then the hiding is over. We don't hide from our boss. We can't. And so how ridiculous and foolish would it be to try to hide from our earthly boss? Because if they are also serving Christ, then really, we're just in the midst of all this playing a charade, and there's really no use in trying to act like we're something that we're not. Because ultimately, God knows, and in a given time, he'll make sure our boss knows too. Have you ever seen it come to pass? Those people at work that seem like they think they're getting by with not really doing their job and pushing it off on everybody else, generally, it winds up happening that they get caught in that. And it's because the God who knows helps it to be found out. Well, I want you to know, if you're being a witness for Jesus Christ in your workplace, you make sure you're doing an even more than exemplary job, so that it will get found out that you even do things that you're not expected to do. And I'll tell you what, it makes God look better to others who are unbelievers, and your Heavenly Father is watching, and he will reward you in the end. That's kind of like what I save up as you know, I like to think about saving up for retirement. I've had people talk about retirement a lot, and I had one guy come to me one time, and I was trying to think of a way I could witness to him, and he said, you know what I do? I'm an investment counselor. He said, I try to help people get prepared for retirement. And I said, man, that sounds like a great idea. He said, well, what do you do? And I said, I kind of help people prepare for after retirement. And he stood there for a minute, and he was like, after retirement? And I said, absolutely, we're all going to face this one. And so really, that's what we need to be doing, is realizing there's some of our payments, some of our gifts, some of our treasure, let's just say, that's being stored up that we're not going to realize until we are in the by and by. And Jesus actually said we should store up our treasures in heaven. So how can we do that in the workplace? I think by doing even things we're not expected to do. Going the extra mile. You know, really having a good attitude. Ultimately, let's work like we're working for God. Let's try to have our heart set on that with goodwill, doing service as to the Lord and not to men. Because ultimately, your greatest reward is in heaven. Verse 8 says, knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether he is a slave or free. Guys, I'm going to tell you, there ain't going to be status in heaven. When we get there, those treasures that have been sent ahead will be there. And they're actually going to be, I think, even more praise that we give to the Lord. It ain't going to be like we're going to have them there and spend them for ourselves, because we're not going to be thinking about ourselves. I can tell you, when we get to heaven, there's only one we're going to be thinking about, and that's going to be God. And we're going to be enjoying his presence forever and ever and ever. We're not going to be selfish. We're not going to be self-centered. We're not going to be self-conscious. How many other self-words can I think? Self-seeking? We're not going to be jealous. We're not going to be envious. It's not going to be like that. In fact, the only place that we see crowns for anyone else in heaven is when we look at Revelation and 24 elders, and what do they do with the crowns? They throw them at the feet of Jesus because they really belong to him. Any good thing you do is because he's doing it through you, and you owe him the reward. But he's just saying, hey, son, hey, daughter, hey, servant, do it for me. And whenever we do it for him, there's going to be a great reward. Can't wait to see what it's going to be like. I think the reward is going to be measured in people. I think we're going to get to heaven someday, and we're going to see people that we just saw maybe for a little while at work or somewhere else or something else, or when we were on a trip somewhere, we only maybe crossed paths with them that one time or maybe a couple of times. You did one good deed. You paid for their groceries, or you paid for their lunch or their gas or something like that, you know, just because God really led you to do it. And then you're going to get to heaven and you're going to see that it actually meant something. I remember witnessing to a guy one time, and I thought that I had just absolutely confused this poor guy to death. The way he was looking at me, I was like deer in the headlights, and I would have never thought it went anywhere. And it was some 10 years later, I got a call from this guy. We hadn't seen each other probably in almost 8 years. And he said, I just wanted you to know I believe in Jesus now. And he said, that day that you talked to me, it was like from that day forward, I just could not shake it out of my mind. Until finally, God really helped me to understand what you were talking about. And he said, I've surrendered my heart to Jesus. We're brothers now. I mean, honestly, it flabbergasted me. It shocked me. And I don't say that to my credit at all, because I'm sure I did a lousy job, but God did a great job. And all I did was try to be obedient a little bit. And it was in our daily work and vocation. And the devil kept telling me, you know, it's stupid for you to try to talk to him. You're just going to ruin your business relationship with him and all this stuff. Don't listen to the devil. You just listen to God. That's who you're really there to serve. And ultimately, I think heaven's going to be filled with that. Seeing how our interactions in this network built this great tapestry, this great quilt, you might say, of all these connected lives that we're going to enjoy forever. And you know what? And they're going to say, hey, you know, because of your interaction with me and after I become a Christian, I want you to see this. These are all the people that my life touched, and I want you to meet them, and I want you to know them, and I'm telling you, I think we're going to take forever enjoying this. Those are going to be those treasures and rewards. I'll tell you a real quick story. I went to a men's conference last week. That's the reason why I wasn't here. John went with me, and Isaiah, and we met up with one of my other sons, Nathan. It's called Men's Encounter, and I want to invite any of our men who think they might want to go. They have them periodically throughout the year. The next one is March 17th, and they're three-day conferences. You go on a Friday evening, and then you come back on Sunday evening. So really, you have like 48 hours of teaching or so. And it's really, really challenging, but it's really good, and it's very enjoyable. But they had this one individual who told this story, and he had touched somebody's life And they have a lot of just people just like me and you that get up there and tell their testimonies. It's exciting to hear how God's worked in their lives. But he was talking about this one person that he encountered, and this one person had given him a really strong witness, and then he told him the story about what God had done in his life. And he had been a prison guard, this person that he had run into, and he had been a prison guard, and there was this one guy that was just so unruly, and all the prison guards, it was in another state of West Virginia, they used to have to just like get really rough on this guy to try to subdue him, because he had a rage that was just uncontrollable. And they called him Wild Man. That was his nickname. And so this Wild Man would just thrash and freak out. And finally, this one day, they had to put him in this jacket to restrain his arms completely so that he just wouldn't hurt himself or anybody else. And he's rolling around screaming. And this prison guard guy comes in, and he takes this little New Testament out of his pocket, and he reads one verse from Romans. And whenever he does, Wild Man just went completely calm. And so then Wild Man started saying, "Please read me more. Please read me more." And the prison guard said, he laid the Bible up on a shelf, and he said, "Well, I'll come back in a little while, and if you're still behaving yourself, I'll read you some more." Sounded like kind of a weird response to me. Probably wouldn't have been mine. I'd have sat down and read the whole book of Romans to him, you know. But for whatever reason, this gentleman thought that would be the better plan. Came back a little later on, and Wild Man was still totally calm, and he said, "Please read me more. Please read me more. I want to hear more of that. I've never heard anything like that." Okay, fast forward the story. Read him more. Wild Man started behaving himself better. The prison guard retires, and one day he's at his home, and somebody, this visitor, unexpected visitor, comes by his house. He gets out of his car, and he's wearing decent clothes, and comes up to him, and he says, "I don't know if you remember me or not, but they used to call me Wild Man." He said, "I just want you to know that I'm a saved man. And not only that, but God's called me to be a pastor." And he said, "I've started 8 different churches in 3 different states now. And people are, you know, God is using me in a very powerful way. And it's all because in that moment you obeyed God. I just want you to know your obedience matters. God will use you, but you have to be willing to let him get you out of your comfort zone. And remember, ultimately, you work for him." That moment, that day, that prison guard realized he didn't work for the state that says, "Don't you be pushing religion." He worked for Jesus. And even if it meant he lost that job, he was doing it to please his real master. And so, in turn, there's somebody else that's making disciples now because of that one step of obedience. And even if you're the master, guys, I want you to remember, you have the same boss, and they will answer to King Jesus someday. Let's look at verse 9. "And you masters do the same things to them, giving up threatening, knowing that your own master also is in heaven, and there is no partiality with him." I'm going to end with a verse from Leviticus about how God feels about this aspect. He says, "You shall not cheat your neighbor nor rob him. The wages of him who is hired shall not remain with you all night until morning." It says that we should pay at least as close to immediately for the work that's been done so that that person doesn't have to go in want. However that pay schedule works today, as long as we know that other person is able to make it from payday to payday, and we are doing everything we can to help them do that. And we're not responsible for their bad choices, but we are responsible to make sure we're not withholding from them. We need to give them what is due them at the proper time, as we've agreed, and do it with joy because we're serving him. That's what God wants us to get from that. Let's have a word of prayer. And then we're going to have a song of invitation. Lord God, as we prepare for the Lord's Supper here today, we've heard your word this morning. We may have felt a little conviction in different areas of our lives. It may be conviction of the one who has not really been doing their job to the fullest of their ability. They're realizing now, "I don't really work for that employer. I really work for Jesus. I need to be serving like I'm serving Jesus." Maybe it's a master or a boss that's realized at this time, you know, at any time during their life, that maybe they've taken advantage of some. I don't know. I don't really know where we fall out in this. And we may all be sitting here saying, "Praise God, that I've already been looking at it like this, then I say, praise the Lord. Let's pray that God would help us to continue to go forward like this. But ultimately, help us to just put ourselves before you and let you search our hearts at this moment. First part is we got to make sure that we're really under the blood of Jesus, that you are our master. And then remember to serve you as our master. So Lord, if there's anybody here that don't know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, I pray that today might be the day that they would surrender their heart to you. If we believe that you came and died for us, that you are the payment for our sins, if we believe that you rose again from the dead on the third day, then we know everything we need to know to be willing to trust you. So help us turn our lives over to you today. And during this time, let us reflect on our heart and just, if there's anything we need to confess to you, Lord, that we'll do it right now. And then all the believers in this room can partake in the Lord's Supper with a clear conscience. So help us, Lord, just to make sure that we do the necessary business with you. Repentance isn't just an I'm sorry. It's an I'm sorry, and I don't want to continue in that way. Help me to go away from that. So help us, Lord, to turn away from our sin. In Jesus' name, amen.